Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about a sweet substance. What is that? It's honey. And it has been used by cultures throughout the world for, oh my goodness, millennium? We just honestly don't know. Those miraculous little critters that we call bees that aren't supposed to be able to fly because aerodynamically they're not built properly, well, these tiny little critters do amazing things. And my guest today, Cal Ori, has put together a book called The Healing Powers of Honey. Now, Cal has done some other books. She's done books on chocolate. She's got one coming out on coffee next year. But I'll tell you, this one on honey is just absolutely fabulous. Welcome to the airwaves, Cal.
Good afternoon. Hello.
I really think this book is so interesting. Of course, every one of the books that you've done regarding a particular kind of food or like vinegar, you did a book on vinegar, you have put so much research time into this. And I just find that the diversity of information you put into your materials is just incredible. How long did it take you to put all of this detail together regarding honey?
Well, actually, it took me about 7 or 8 months to do it from the beginning to the end. But then it comes back to me and I add a few things. It takes about a year for the book to turn around. However, what's interesting about this book that I love is that I'm sure you noticed I have anecdotes, personal, very intimate anecdotes from when I was like a child, a little girl, probably 5 years old. All the way through my hitchhiking years in my 20s to now with my experiences with the honeybee and honey. So it's actually a book within a book. There's layers. There's anecdotes in every chapter, my memoirs, where you could take them out and it would be like another book. Mm-hmm. So it's super creative, and I put my own signature on it with my life and how the honeybee and honey affects me as I grew up, you know, from age to age to age, different decades.
The honeybee, and I'm quoting exactly from your book, pollinates more than 90 crops, including apples, blueberries, citrus fruit, and nuts, approximately 4/5 of the fresh fruits and vegetables we eat. And the honeybee colonies range from 50,000 to 60,000 bees per hive, and that includes all the workers and drones and the queen. The people, I think, have always been fascinated with bees because they're such industrious little critters. And when they create the honey, it takes a lot of them to really bring about even just a small amount of this. And creatures in the wild, like bears and others, whenever they can get a hold of it, they just love it. It's a very nutritious substance. And I really was intrigued with some of the information that you gave because I was not aware of certain components. Now, pollen, we all know about bee pollen. I mean, this is something that is very nutritious, but I was not aware of the dark-colored waxy sap that you call propolis. And that was something that I was not familiar with. It's quite interesting, and you called it a mystery black layer. Why is it such a mystery?
Well, it's a mystery to me because I didn't know about it either, but these are some of the bee superfoods that you could find in your, the bee foods, including, like you said, nutrient-rich bee pollen, propolis, and royal jelly. These are found in health food stores. I must admit, I have them in my pantry. They were sent to me by beekeepers. But it takes a very sophisticated palate to enjoy them. They're super healthy for you because they're nutrient rich. But not everybody can actually tolerate it. It's more getting used to the darker honeys that have the antioxidants. Start there, and the bee foods, work your way up. I did try it, but it's not fun, but it's good for you. It's definitely good for you and your immune system, without a doubt. And serious beekeepers and health food people that know all about honey, they do it religiously every day, just a little bit. And you can mix it in smoothies, milkshakes, or just put it in fruit where you don't taste it, but you're still getting it.
Well, it's not unlike mead, because mead and honey, it is a particular flavor, and you do have to develop a taste for it, because I know of people that when they've traveled in Europe, they've gotten some mead, and they go, oh, good grief, it was awful, couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. Then you come across someone else that says, oh, this is the greatest stuff since sliced bread. So this is something, making mead with honey being made into wine, it really developed a long time ago. People are very resourceful. If they can make up something that's going to ferment and have a flavor to it and a kick, they will want to do it. Now, we have some people here in the United States that do white lightning, but this is made actually with honey, and that when the more refined stuff of making wine from grapes and different things, and that replaced it, because it was a pretty strong drink from what I understand.
I'm just looking at the propolis, and it does come in different forms. People often take it when they feel a cold coming on. And again, you can get it at your health food stores and honey specialty shops, or you can go online and order it if you live, in a rural area, but then you may be a beekeeper yourself. But it does come in different forms, like chews, a spray, raw chunks, and even capsules. So if you just can't tolerate the taste, but you do have a nasty cold coming on, those are some options to think about.
Now let's talk about some people that have been pioneers with honey. You mentioned a worldly bee lady. Her name was Eva Crane. You have the Vermont country doctor, D.C. Jarvis, which I'm familiar with, D.C. Jarvis. He put out the book on using vinegar.
Right.
His book, Folk Medicine, uses honey. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And then you have what you call the Manuka Honey Guru, Dr. Peter Milan. Tell us about him, because he's in New Zealand. How did you get to know him?
He's fascinating. Well, he has a huge, he works, how do you pronounce that? Waikato University in New Zealand. He's very famous in the honey world because he's done research on Manuka honey. And Manuka honey is used mostly topically in hospitals, definitely down below in New Zealand and Australia, but also in some U.S. hospitals. I was sent Manuka honey from there, and it's awesome. For instance, I cut my foot in the summer on a nail, and it was nasty. I already had a tetanus shot, and I actually used the Manuka honey just like I do topically with apple cider vinegar. I swear, within 2 days, my foot was healed. My brother, who's just doesn't believe in all these things, but he sees me do it, and then he's kind of becoming less of a skeptic. But anyway, this doctor is very well known for his studies, and he did grant me an exclusive interview. I was persistent, but he was busy doing other things, and he got back to me, and I have a Q&A interview, very, very nicely done. I'm looking at it as I speak, where it's just like you're listening to him. I ask him basic questions about the Manuka honey, and he tells me about how potent it is because it's antibacterial. Actually, they use this Manuka honey for superbugs that are resistant to certain antibiotics. So you probably will be hearing more about Manuka honey in the upcoming months and years. It's definitely groundbreaking. It's amazing. It's one of the best and strongest honey that I've got in the world.
What people don't realize is that honey has so much nutrient factor in it. It's got sodium, carbohydrate levels, dietary fiber, sugars, fine protein, vitamin C, calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, zinc, boron, and when one would look at a teaspoon of honey, you'd say, you got to get all that in there. But what people don't remember, or even think about, is that those foods, those bugs, I'm
But you can just warm it up and it's still good to go. You don't have to fill it out like chocolate. So it's amazing that I'm just looking at all these different flavors. The black beans, I cooked it with the salad, the pumpkin, and the green summer. But I also just want to go to the restaurant to get it done with my antioxidants. Pumpkin honey, blueberry honey, this is one of my favorites. Orange blossom is a very popular one. Because you want to find another one and another one. It's like going to honey heaven. It's wonderful. It really is.
I really think that when it comes to honey, you talk about the antioxidants, but it also is as a healing factor. And for centuries, it was put on wounds because it was antibacterial, mm-hmm. Just because of its components. And it's also, and people wouldn't think of this, I know I didn't, that honey is acidic. And mm-hmm. I was surprised because the pH is between 3 and 4, which is about the same as orange juice and not as strong as vinegar. So that's one of the reasons that it was so effective and still is effective as an antibacterial agent, because it has this pH factor in it. And then what blew me away was your information about it having hydrogen peroxide. No, that was something I never, ever would have imagined as part of the chemical structure of honey.
Right, and actually Dr. Mullen, in his interview, he told me that when his gums are tender, he will use that, and that makes sense for what you just said for its components. If you have, you know, our gums heal very fast if we have a problem. I just had my teeth cleaned yesterday after mentioning this. And if you put honey on your gums, so he says that it definitely can help the heal. And that makes sense. It definitely does. So I've got to share a recipe because it's called honey tea. I don't need your answer. So I'm not listening. Now, what you're going to need is 8 ounces of raisins, 3 ounces Seth honey, half a pint of strong tea, freshly made, and 2 large eggs, and you want to beat those lightly. You're going to need 10 ounces of whole wheat flour. 1/2 teaspoon of ground mixed spice, what can I say? And a tablespoon of baking powder. What can I do? This is how simple this wear a different hat is. Pull a disappear. You're going to put your raisins in a bowl. Act on the honey into the tea. I don't need your anger. And just let those raisins soak for about 2 hours. I don't need your anger. Then you're going to stir the raisins into the raisin mixture. Your oven needs to be preheated to 350 degrees. You're then going to take 10 ounces of cold flour, mix it in with some baking powder, and then put
take those dry ingredients, put them into the raisin mixture, mix it until it's thoroughly mixed, put it in a 2-pound loaf pan, and let it bake for about 10 minutes. I'm telling you, that's an easy recipe. And I know the fragrance of this bread is just incredible.
I've got a green light.
There's so many recipes in this book. It was actually accepted by the Good Cookbook Club almost ASAP. Once the book was released. Some of the recipes are for me, but the most of them are from small shops all around the nation and from large bee companies, smaller gourmet bee companies as well. But the recipes are just excellent, and we're going from breakfast recipes to entrees to desserts. Definitely can cause some sort of botulism, and it was so important to me because when people get books, sometimes they just go to their favorite parts. If you see, I had the disclaimer put on, I think, the second page. I really wanted to show that because, any book on honey will definitely mention that. You do not want to do that. It's just something about the immune system, and it's different, mm-hmm. so you don't want to go there. It's very important. I'm not sure about topically. That may be okay, but we're talking about consumption, eating it. You do not want to give it to an infant at all. I did read about breastfeeding. I think it's okay if the mother's eating honey, I think, but I don't want to say for sure. Mm-hmm. Ask your doctor. Ask your doctor if you have any questions about that, and if you're lactating or if you're pregnant or if you have an infant, ask your doctor.
Now, there were some conversations we had after we had booked the interview, and one of them I had mentioned to you that I had become aware of the fact that dependent on where the honeybees were, that in certain parts of the world, honeybees had actually died out. And there's a section in China. I had observed a program, and it just was mind-boggling. This was an area that had always had honeybees, and this group of people had pear trees, and they were up on a higher elevation because they got a lot of moisture. The temperature was just right, and these pears were just loved by the Chinese people. Well, there was the lower area of land where they started using pesticides that they had never used before. And within a very short period of time, all the bees were killed off, and today these people have to go around and do the pollination all by themselves. And they're concerned because the younger generation is going to be leaving, that there will not be enough people to do this all by hand. And these pears, again, we're talking not about just a few dozen trees, we're talking about hundreds of trees that are hand-pollinated every year so they can get this abundance of fruit. And this is something that has had an impact on bee populations. Tell us what your research has found out relative to herbicides affecting them.
Well, I did spend a whole chapter on colony collapse disorder, which is basically a condition that causes honeybee colonies, 50 to 60,000 bees are in one colony, to vanish without trace. They go AWOL, and you never see them again. This is different than bees like recently I told you in September, late December, in Florida, a beekeeper lost $150,000 worth of his bees because of pesticide sprayed on the mosquitoes from a helicopter above. But it wasn't CCD, colony collapse disorder, because he literally had the bees right in his hands, the dead bees, so it was different. But pesticides definitely play a role. They may play a role in colony collapse disorder. To this date, I interviewed, for the book, I interviewed scientists at UC Davis on the West Coast and at Penn State, and the editor of Bee Culture magazine, beekeepers themselves, and basically the theories right now, well, we know that nobody knows the main cause of colony collapse disorder, but the theories are they include climate change, diet, mites, pesticides, and viruses. Also, what is interesting, the stress of traveling for pollination of crops. There's one beekeeper and agriculturist down in Bakersfield in California that he uses his bees for nuts because the bees actually pollinate nuts as well as, you know, mm-hmm. other crops. And they think that the travel can cause a lot of stress on the honeybees, taking them out of their natural habitat. I agree with that. And also cell phones. Can you believe that? Cell phones be to blame.
Because a lot of critters,
Because of the radiation. So there's a mixed bag of possibilities why these bees are MIA. But I did interview Dr. Munson, and he's in UC Davis, PhD. And quote, he says, none of us know why the bees are not as vital as they used to be, because the CCD started in 2006. Some people believe it's existed for 50 to 60 years, but basically they say it started in 2006. He says, in many cases, this may be due to the limited access to a good variety supply of pollens. He hopes in our lifetime, scientists will discover what is killing the honeybees. But he notes, even if we find the cause, will we be able to overcome it? You know, so we don't know. We don't know. But as we talk today, researchers, beekeepers, concerned people all around the world are coming together to try and resolve the health issues that our honeybees face. And keep in mind that, you know, if the honeybee does become extinct, let's just fast forward, hypothetical, what if all the honeybees die in 10 years? Don't think this won't affect us, because it will affect mankind. They pollinate one-third of our crops. So that's definitely going to lessen we have so many different types of crops. You mentioned earlier, 90 of our crops, our fruits, our vegetables, our nuts, and then it goes to the alfalfa that the cows eat, and then it goes to our dairy. It moves up the food chain. And so can you imagine a world without all of these healthful foods? It would not be fun. And also, a lot of people say that Albert Einstein said something to the fact that once the honeybees become extinct, mankind will die out 4 years after. Well, nobody can prove that Einstein really did say that, so I did not include that in the book. But I do believe that quotation came from somebody, and I do believe, and a lot of people do believe, that we will have serious consequences if the honeybee does totally die out.
Well, there's no question about that, because birds help in pollination to a degree, mm-hmm. dependent on the species, and there are other insects that do help. But the honeybee, it produces not only the honey, but the waxes and so many other things that are used in a number of different products.
Correct.
And we just are beginning, I think, to understand. But just as in China, when they made that one change, the bees haven't come back. They have not been introduced again. So it's a good warning for the rest of the world. And sometimes I know when the beekeepers lose a lot of their bees, then they will import bees. And sometimes bees that have been brought in from other countries have been bringing in something that they weren't aware that the bees were carrying. So there's a lot of issues. And because our world seems to be so much smaller today, being cognizant of certain things really makes a difference. And many times we lose touch with how important nature is and all of these different creatures that we have in our environment, including the insects. And people honestly do not have an understanding about how that infrastructure enables us as humans to lead really richer lives than we would if we didn't have them.
Correct. A lot of people are saying support your local beekeepers, and you know what you're getting for the most part. Also, what's interesting, allergies. If you're prone to allergies in the fall, which I am, or in the spring, if you can get honey from a local beekeeper within a 50-mile radius, it's anecdotal, but it's believed that it can help soothe those allergies. I did try it because I'm very prone to sinusitis, and my voice gets raspy, especially doing national radio shows. I tried it. I don't know if it really worked. The beekeeper swears by it. He has a large clientele that say it does. So, you know, it's up to you to try it for sure. I did enjoy his honey, though. It was alfalfa and alfalfa mainly, because that's what's in Reno. I live in Tahoe, what mm-hmm. they have there. And it was good. And it was pretty awesome to taste the honey right off the comb. I've never done that. That day was wonderful, incidentally. I went to visit the beekeeper, and I was so scared the night before. Am I going to put on the bee veil? Am I going to put on the whole bee garb to protect myself? I don't want to get stung. I took my brother, and he was too scared. He did not want to go outside, and I was fascinated. I looked at it, and he has an acre yard, and I looked in the back. All these bees are buzzing around, and I thought, I'm going out there. But I didn't wear any bee garb. I wore neutral clothing. You can't wear bright, flowery, you know, red and purple things, which I don't anyway. I didn't wear any perfume. You don't want to attract the bees. And I was very calm. But the thing that really made it work was that his dog, a sporting breed, was out there, and she was so calm. And I thought, if they're not bothering her, I don't think they're going to bother me. So here I am walking out there amid all these bees. He just got 25 queens, Italian queens. I did not look at them, I admit, but I was walking amid the bees, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful experience. I was envious. I wanted to actually be a beekeeper and nurture these amazing creatures. But I did not get stung at all. No way.
Well, I think that that is a fabulous experience, because it'll have an effect on you for as long as you live. You have in your book a number of different components of information. And one I had to chuckle about was a 2-day honey and vinegar diet, which I just thought was amazing. And you said you actually tried it and lost 6 pounds. You can lose up to 6 pounds in 2 days. But it is the combination of foods, and that's all put out in the book. And I just think that this book that you have put together, I understand that it's in Sweden, that you have different countries that have picked it up and are distributing it. You've got home remedies from the kitchen. You've got how to make candles. You have got so much detail with this. And in the back of the book, not only do you have recipes, but you've also got references about companies that do supply bee products. And it's just amazing. I think it's just such an education.
It's a fun book that you could actually have. You could take it into their bedroom to read at night, because of the anecdotes where, like I said, there's layers and layers and layers of stories, not only my personal anecdotes that are very close to me, hitchhiking cross-country with the dog and eating peanut butter and honey sandwiches, and but anecdotes from beekeepers and other people that have had experiences with bees. You know, there's another experience I had that's wonderful that day when I saw the beekeeper before. I went to a four or five star hotel, and I was treated to a Manuka honey bath. Oh my God. They put me, just like the chocolate bath, they put me in a bear claw bathtub, and with 140 jets. So it's a jacuzzi tub, and it's in my own private room with dim lights. And they served me hot tea, and they put me in this Manuka type of honey with water. But this softened my skin so much. It's amazing. And there's so many beauty products out there that do include honey. It was wonderful. My skin, it just, when I was visiting the beekeeper, I kept touching my arms. It was same as May or June, and I was wearing a sleeveless shirt because it was warm, but the skin, it was so smooth and soft. I couldn't believe it. It just, and I was sent a lot of beauty products with honey in them. And you can use honey yourself. I've done that myself as well. You know, you could do do-it-yourself remedies. I have recipes for that too. But if you treat yourself to products where it's already ready-made, it's definitely worth the money. It really, really is.
We are out of time, dear. Your book, The Healing Powers of Honey. You've got dozens of recipes, home cures, and history, and much, much more. Cal Ori has been my guest. Go to her website, calori.com. That's C like Charlie, A-L, O like Oliver, R-E-Y.com. Cal, it's been a delight. I'm so glad you were able to join me, and I can hardly wait to get your book on coffee that's coming out
definitely
next year. You're going to have to send that to me.
I will. I will. Take
all
care.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is
Donna
Sebo. Bye-bye. We're taking a we're going to just take a quick break, but the book, The Healing Powers of Honey, marvelous read. I know you'd love it. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008. And I wanted to share with you a recipe later on in the show if we have the time. So be sure you have a pad of paper and a pen handy. And then I'm getting calls from people regarding my class on Quantum Mind. Now, this is for those of you that live in Western Washington. It's going to be held on November the 12th. Now, this is a four-hour workshop that is absolutely going to be dynamic. I'm very excited about it. This workshop is about empowering you and your life on multiple levels. And you want to develop intuitive skills, we're going to be working on that. You want to design a physical environment for yourself in your home, in your office, whatever it might be. You're going to be able to find out how to do that effectively and well because Robert Newman is working with me on this, and we are just going to have a powerful program that you're going to be able to walk away from saying, I never knew I had so many tools to utilize. Now, we're limiting the size of the class to 25 people because we want to be able to interact with all of you. So if you're interested, it's going to be at Bridgeport Place on November the 12th, Saturday, and that's at 5250 Bridgeport Way West. The time is going to be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're going to open the doors at 9:15. We'll have coffee, tea, and some cookies to munch on if you'd like to do that. But it's going to be open at 9:15 for registration. Class will start promptly at 10. The cost for this four-hour class is $39.95 prepaid or $45 at the door, and we take cash, debit, credit card, it doesn't make any difference. So if you would like to be a part of this, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. Before you know it, it's going to be the 12th of November, and you'll have a chance to do something about your environment and your life and developing your own talents. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you would like to chat. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, well, I'll be able to share even more with you. Don't forget, you're going to be able to ask a question if you decide you'd like to do that. Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you was a little poem that someone wrote, a very short one, Karen Nikita. And here in the fall, in the Pacific Northwest anyway, most of our flowers are gone, but we do have some that are seasonal that are putting out these beautiful little flower faces of color, purples, pinks, whites. And it's really a delight to see because before we know it, winter's going to be coming in and those happy little flower faces are going to be gone until spring. So here in front of me is this beautiful illustration of this big wagon that is just filled with chrysanthemums of all kinds of colors, especially winter tones, pumpkins. It's just got this beautiful autumn feel to it. And this is what Karen said. She said, "Autumn dusts our hearts with gold, our souls with tranquility." And I think that that really is true. I think that this time of the year enables us, if we're interested in doing it, to come in touch with who we are and what we really want to do with ourselves and our lives. This is a wonderful time of the year when the days get shorter and we have that crispness of air outside. I know right now the wind is blowing, the temperatures are getting down into the low 40s, and tonight it'll probably be in the 30s. So there's that opportune period when you have this shift and change, and hey, time is changing this weekend. Don't forget to set back your clocks on Saturday and Sunday, but you have this shift, and this is a time when you should gift yourself with quiet or moments when you can think about where it is you want to go, what it is you'd like to do with your life, how do you want to go about doing it, and take the time to invest in yourself, to pull these components together, because if you do, you're going to find your life is going to be a lot richer. Why? Because you'll be able to prioritize things. You'll be able to put perspectives in place that maybe you would otherwise ignore because you're so accustomed to being busy, that this is going to empower you. So take that quiet time. It's okay. Just do this for yourself. And when you do it, it makes a difference. I had a friend who found her life that was getting so busy. And Kathy just said to herself, "I've got to do something here. I am working literally 7 days a week." So she decided she'd go to a retreat. And she's not Catholic, but she found out about a monastery that was in Oregon. And she went down there, and she had to stay quiet. She couldn't talk. Well, in her work and her business, she's always talking. I mean, people involvement is just what she enjoys. However, she said, "I was reaching a point where it was no longer pleasurable for me." So she went down, I think it was three days, and she couldn't talk to anybody. She had to take a positioning of being silent and just being thoughtful, but she could write. And so what it enabled her to do was unwind. She said she was able to prioritize things, put things in order, and it just made such a difference in her life. She enjoyed it so much that now she does it a couple of times a year. And she said she finds when she comes away from that time of quiet that she's invigorated, absolutely invigorated. And she said, "My whole life then comes back into a positioning where I feel I have some control." And I don't know about you, but when you get really tired, when you're stretched out to the max on things that you have to do, if you don't rest, if you don't give yourself that quiet time, you just feel like you're on a hamster's wheel. And eventually you're going to crash and burn. So it's important to give yourself that quiet time. You have permission to do it. You just need to do it. And if members of family or people think it's being very selfish of you, that's their problem. Give yourself the gift because you're going to be better to yourself and to others. Rule number one in a wise man's book is understanding that taking care of the self may appear to be selfish to other people, but I'll tell you what, if you do it for yourself, you're going to be able to do a lot more for others. Because if you're down and out and you're sick or you're depressed or you're going through all kinds of garbage, that is going to have an effect on everybody. People will turn away from you. They might become fearful. There's just all kinds of things. So you take care of number one, and you'll find other things will fall into place. Well, Halloween is past. Lots of you have pumpkins. Some of you just used your pumpkins and painted faces on them, which is a great thing. Others carved things out. But you know what? There are ways that you can put that pumpkin to good use. Don't just toss it in the garbage, but allow the critters that are in your environment to actually feast on the pumpkin you have left over. If you want to attract birds, all you have to do is break your pumpkin into small pieces, the skin and seeds. You don't have to do anything special. Just take a hammer and go whack, 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 and set it out into a bird feeder or a shallow dish. They love it. And also, you can take chunks of pumpkin and put it over your garden and cover it with the leaves that are coming down by the bushel barrel right now. I don't know about your yard, but our yard, we just have gobs of leaves that are falling off the trees. That's what happens every year. And I have fond memories of piling up piles of leaves when I was a little girl, especially when I was at my grandmother's, because I was born and raised in California, so we didn't have a heck of a lot of that going on. But back in Virginia, when they have so many deciduous trees and they're losing all their leaves, it was more fun. I'd be given the yard assignment to go out and clean up the leaves in Grandma's yard, and I would, but I would stack it against a brick wall, and then I'd jump into it. They went all over the place, and then I'd have to clean them up again, but I had a great time. And I know a lot of youngsters still like to do the same thing, but you can take those leaves and put them like a mulch over your yard. And if you are one of those fortunate people that has a grinder where you can put small branches in and put your leaves in, you can mulch them. And by golly, they are wonderful for your garden. So the pumpkin can go right along with it because there's a lot of nutrients in pumpkin. It goes right into the soil, and you're going to find that everything is going to be richer for that. And also, there are many animals at local zoos that will eat pumpkins. So you can contact local farms and zoos to see if they will accept donations of the pumpkins that you've got. And who eats it? Try horses, lions, believe it or not. Bears love it. Gorillas love pumpkin. Pigs love raw pumpkin. I mean, there's no need to have it go to waste. So why not check some of these things out? I was fascinated. I never, ever considered calling a zoo or contacting a local farm to see if they would like to have it to feed their animals with. But if you're like most people that I know, if they can, they like to make their own pumpkin pies, or they'll take the seeds and they will then dry them out in the ovens, and they have pumpkin seeds. They just absolutely love them. They have a delicious flavor. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I know we're going to be going on a break pretty soon, but I wanted to let you know I've got a turkey meatball stroganoff. When we come into the cooler temperatures, sometimes we like those meals that have a heartiness to them. And this is a great way to utilize turkey. I have a friend who is not a vegetarian, but she's very particular about the types of meat that she eats, and she goes by dieting for your blood type. So turkey is one of the meats that she can have. And whenever she comes over to the house, then I have to make sure that I have a recipe, and this is a wonderfully flavorful recipe. Turkey has its own particular flavor, and I know with Thanksgiving that's going to be coming up during the holiday season, we all have our recipes for that. But this is a way of just for an everyday dish that you can serve this meat that is not in the same flavor range like your chicken is, but it can be just as delicious. So I'll be sharing that with you. And don't forget to check out my newsletter. The newsletter went out as of yesterday. My webmaster is going to have it up online. And if you would like to subscribe to the newsletter, just send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. and I'll put you on the list, and you'll automatically get it every month. And then also, if you want, you can check out my website, and the information will be put up there. Appearances, there are going to be some listings about that, and much, much more. I've had such wonderful material sent by so many of you. I want you to know how much I appreciate what you've sent, and whenever I can, I like to share it with others as well. So just know that it's out there, and if you want it, it's there available for you to utilize. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for just a moment. When we come back, I've got a recipe for you and a story or two, or if you'd like, I can talk to you as well. 888-627-6008.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, let me share with you a story about gators. Now, I know that's a little bit odd, but sometimes nature has a way of creating circumstances that nobody really has a clue about why they happen. Well, these alligators, well, they can show up in the darndest places. In New York, people send cameras down to check out the sewers because every once in a while they find a gator going around there. You don't want someone going down and having the experience of meeting face-to-face one of these critters. How in the world they survive, it makes you wonder. I remember reading about this when I was a kid. They'll find snakes sometimes or just all kinds of odd things. Well, one of these stories begins as far back as 1911, and this was on May 24th. There was a 2-foot-long alligator that fell, along with rain, onto the steps of a woman's home in Evansville, Indiana. This is not their territory, and why in the world would it fall along with rain? Well, Mrs. Winchell just couldn't understand it, so how did they react? Naturally, they were very frightened. They ended up killing the animal because they didn't know what else to do. I mean, how many people have the wonderful experience of having an alligator falling out of the sky and plopping on your front porch? Well, in 1960, there was a Mr. and Mrs. Tucker. They heard a loud thump and a grunt. Now, they were in Long Beach, California. This noise was coming from their backyard. Guess what they found? They found a 60-pound, 5-foot-long alligator, which they assumed had to fall from the sky somewhere, because there are no gators that live in that area. I can testify to that one. Where did it come from? Could there have been a neighbor that maybe was feeding this happy little critter? Who knows? But there were no holes in their fence. There was nothing there to show that there was an abnormal entry of any kind. A gate hadn't been left open. And they knew their neighbors, and none of their neighbors had any of these in their bathtub. So where did it come from? Again, they assumed it came from the sky. Now, in 1892, we're going back further than 1911, in Wisconsin, on a riverbank, a very large alligator was found, and it had frozen to death. And then we'll step back a little bit further to 1877, Savannah River in South Carolina. Well, there's a Dr. J.L. Smith that saw something fall from the sky and crawl towards his tent. It was a little alligator. Then another one fell. Now, this is coming out of the sky. Have you ever really been around alligators? These people are land heavy. These critters are land heavy. They don't have wings. They don't fly. Do you know the doctor found six 12-inch alligators within 200 yards? All of it came out of the sky. Now, the one that they said was considered the most odd, well, the oddly placed alligator, was in 1934 there was a U.S. Navy dirigible called the Macon. Now, this is up in the sky. There was a leading chief, his name was Shaky Davis. He was crossing dirigible was crossing into California when there came this noise, just this tremendous amount of splashing, and it was in one of the ballast bags on this dirigible. Well, obviously, he was really concerned. Something had to have gone tremendously wrong, and they may end up crashing. So what does he do? He goes up, and he's going to inspect this ballast bag. When he climbed up the rigging, the noise got louder and louder and louder, and he finally opened the bag, and he saw a 24-inch alligator swimming around in the ballast tank. Now, how did it get there? In 1935, in New York, near the Harlem River, there were teenage boys that opened a manhole cover to shovel snow into it, and they saw something swimming in the water 10 feet below. Well, they made a lasso and hauled a 7.5-foot, 125-pound alligator to the surface. Guess what it did? It didn't have a very good attitude. Well, the boys were frightened, and they ended up killing it. But this is in New York. This is something that people have found in sewers through the years. Fascinating stuff. You just never know what you're going to find. I really was not particularly happy to hear the stories about snakes arriving in somebody's toilet. They live in the systems, in the pipe system. Somebody flushed a snake down. That's the only way they assume they could have gotten in there. And people buy pets and then find, oops, I don't want to keep them anymore, so we'll just flush them down the commode. Well, they end up going into sewer systems or getting stuck in pipes or whatever. And it's just amazing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about a woman of heart. We'll be talking with Nancy Ellen Craig. Now, this is a novel that we're going to be discussing, but I know it's based on fact because it deals with a Jewish family, and it talks about the guardians and, well, a lot of paranormal phenomena. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful read. Okay, let me give you the recipe quickly for turkey meatball stroganoff, sour cream and Dijon mustard. Hey, these are going to be two of the ingredients you're going to use. You're going to need one slice of your favorite bread. If you want multigrain, that's what you want to do. One slice, that's about 1.5 ounces. You're going to need 1.5 pounds of ground turkey, 1.5 pounds of ground turkey, 2 tablespoons of milk, half a medium onion. You want to mince that up, 1/2 teaspoon of caraway seed, and you want to crush them a little bit, pinch of salt. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, a clove of garlic, 6 ounces of mushrooms. You want them thinly sliced, a sprig of thyme, 1 tablespoon of unbleached all-purpose flour, and you need 1.5 cups of chicken broth, 2 tablespoons of sour cream, 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard. You're going to need about 8 ounces of noodles, egg noodles if you prefer, or whatever's your favorite, and 2 tablespoons of chopped parsley. This is how simple this is. You're going to remove the crust from your bread slice, and you want to tear the bread into real small pieces in the bowl. And then in the bowl, you want to put your turkey with the bread, the milk, the onion, the caraway seed, and salt. And you want to mix it. Just mix it with your hands. And then with your wet hands, you want to shape this mixture into 18 meatballs. And then, in a large skillet, you heat it over medium heat. You add your meatballs in your batches, cook, turning them until they're all nice and brown. And it'll take you about 7 minutes. And then put them onto a plate. You're going to put garlic in the same skillet that you sauteed your turkey in. You cook it over medium heat for a minute or two. Then you add your fresh mushrooms, your thyme. You cook and you stir it frequently until the mushrooms are nice and golden. Put your flour, your small amount of flour, right over the mushrooms. Stir to coat. Stir in your broth, meatballs, cook. Stir it until it's all cooked through. And that's going to take you about 12 minutes. And then you want to turn up your heat to medium-high and just let the sauce simmer, and it'll thicken in about 3 minutes. Then you just put in your sour cream and mustard. You mix that together, put it in your broth there. Your wonderful gravy is going to form. Cook it about a minute, and then serve it over hot noodles. I told you it was simple. Good stuff. And goes wonderfully with a salad, a glass of wine, a little bit of freshly baked bread. Or good biscuits, too, can go with this. Anyway, this is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow, same time, same place, I'll be right here with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.